Mr. Brunt, happy Canada Day week. I don't know. You usually tune in a little early. It is in my wheelhouse today. We've not talked sports for an hour and 5 minutes. We are concocting a 16-team cocktail bracket, and I couldn't be happier to Google cocktail recipes on a Friday morning before 7. So maybe I have a problem. I don't know.
It's excellent. No, it's although I got to say, this is not not that drinking is not my area of expertise, but I am not. I am a pure spirits guy, so I am not a cocktail guy. So I may not even have an opinion here if asked, because I like spirits, and I like them in their natural form without maraschino cherries or goop in them. So
sure, fair,
or little umbrellas. So is that okay?
Feels like a shot. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. I see you drinking like 12-year-old to 24-year-old rums and scotches, and you know, maybe you would have a glass of port after reading poetry to a group of literary people. So if you're talking single spirit, am I in the wheelhouse here?
I would say scotch for sure. I know the sweeter, sugarier stuff is not so much. Although when I'm in Newfoundland, rum is the drink of choice for all Newfoundlanders. So I will
right.
I have chugged a bit of rum out of a coffee mug out there the odd time. But yeah, brandies, you know, cognacs, grappas, Mark's, you know, those kind of things. Bourbons, I can handle. But
yes,
if there was one, you know, if I had one option, it would be a. One of several different Scotch whiskeys. That would be my go-to at any given time.
Tell me about Screech.
You know what? It's just rum. It's just dark rum. It is indistinguishable from most other kinds of dark rum. You know, there's this sense that it's not stronger than other rum. It's not overproof. It's just rum. It's a great name,
okay.
You know, and if anybody who got to see Come From Away, there's a lot of Screech talk in that. You know, so there's a lot of. And they do it when they do this screeching in thing in Newfoundland, which is a completely made up tourist shtick, which has nothing to do with Newfoundland or Newfoundland culture, and it's something they do for tourists and bars, and everybody thinks it's really, boy, there's Newfoundland culture, but it's not. It's kind of a sideshow, but Screech is involved in that. But most of my Newfoundland friends, I know a few of them that drink Screech, but there are a variety of other dark rums that would be their go-to probably before they get to Screech, but it is a Pepsi province though. So you know, my good friend Bob Cole is a devoted fan of Captain Morgan. I'm telling tales out of school here, but I know Bob would not be upset about this because it's close to his heart. So he is a zealot about it, so that if you go into a licensed establishment with Bob and they do not have Captain Morgan's rum, he will walk out, right? It's so in St. John's where he lives, not only do they have the Captain Morgan's ready everywhere, but back in the day, you can get Coca-Cola now in some places in Newfoundland more than you could. It used to be all Pepsi, and there's some historic reason for that about, you know, where it was bottled, and I think there was a strike, and there were a bunch of reasons why everybody became Pepsi zealots. But Bob Cole will only drink Coca-Cola with his Captain Morgan's, and places that do not sell it in St. John's, places that he visits occasionally, had a private stash of Coca-Cola behind the bar for him. So there you go. Things you didn't know about Bob Cole. Yeah, he tells a great story about coming out of, I don't think it was the 72 series, because he did the 74 series, but the 72 and the 74 series. So he did the WHA series and the NHL series in Russia. And getting out of Russia with his last bottle of Coca-Cola, and in Prague in a hotel room with Red Fisher drinking his Coke just to drive him crazy, and him being left, having waited weeks, because Russia was a Pepsi country, waiting for weeks for this one Coca-Cola, and then being deprived of it by the evil Red Fisher. So there you go. There's a lot of Bob Cole stuff there. That deep dive, that's the deep tracks of Bob Cole's life.
I love it. Okay, so I'm just going to run like, we are going to get to sports, maybe, but I just want to. We are doing the cocktail bracket. I know you said single spirit guy. Just jump in where you have to. I'm just going to read four or five names out: Margarita, Caesar, Dark and Stormy, Mimosa, Moscow Mule, Old Fashioned, Manhattan. Anything there do anything for you?
I've had the odd, mojito and things like that. What was the first one? With margarita. I like tequila mm-hmm. by itself. I like good tequila, but I've had the odd margarita, certainly, in warm climes, and the odd Caesar on back in when you could have a drink on an airplane. It's a good airplane drink.
yes, it is. You know? That's right.
Yeah. You give you the little can. You know, it's all pretty. Maybe we'll still be able to do that. I don't know. Well, who knows what the future will hold. But, yeah, those, I have consumed those. So, but usually, yeah, tropical kind of drinks in, ideally in kind of tropical places where yep. it's the thing, right? So, but the other ones I don't think I've even had. Like, I don't know that I've ever had a Moscow Mule. I have a friend who likes old fashions, but it seems like a mm-hmm. terrible thing to do to whiskey.
Fair enough. And if you, that means you're drinking the good stuff, right? So that's good.
Yeah, we'll get you don't mix the good stuff. Okay.
What were the Jays drinking on their charter from Dunedin to Toronto yesterday that was kind of undercover but kind of not?
Yeah, interesting, huh? I think I would think they're very happy. You know, I would be very happy to get on a charter plane in Florida and fly to Canada right now. You know, if it means getting locked in the hotel attached to the Rogers Center, I think that'd be okay. I would live with that. And it's been an interesting negotiation, obviously. It's taken, you know, it went right down to the wire before they finally, and they don't have approval for the season yet, so that's going to be another negotiation. But, you know, it makes a load of sense for a bunch of reasons for them. You know, Dunedin, you know, which you know well, is, you know, right in the midst of a horrible outbreak in Florida right now. The case count in that county is really bad. The facility there is limited. You know, they still haven't really finished that new spring training facility, so it's not an ideal place to work. It's certainly not in a bubble. And, you know, Toronto has got a lot of advantages, and I know they really, really want to play the season. Plus, like again, not this should always be pointed out, same as when we talk about the NHL hubs in bubble cities in Canada. The 70-cent dollar matters to these. You know, this is a business. So they are quite happy to do business in Canadian dollars because it saves them money. So, yeah, it's... look, I live, you know, here not that far from the Rogers Center, I guess, or in the same jurisdiction. I have zero problems with it from a public health point of view. I don't understand the worry, to be honest. You know, these guys are going to be tested like mad. They're going to be... they'll be the safest people in Canada in a lot of ways, and they're not going to have any interaction. Even if they have scattered interaction with the community somehow and break the bubble, they're going to be pretty much protected. And if they test positive, they're going to be, you know, they're going to sit them down. So, mm-hmm. I think, look, there's lots to worry about in this contagion. There are a lot of things to legitimately worry about, and I'm all for that. But 50 or 60 baseball players and the supporting personnel being stuck in a hotel in Toronto and playing in that stadium, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, and so yesterday, officially, they got greenlit to have their spring training or training camp, whatever we're calling it now, because it ain't spring, at Rogers Centre in Toronto. There will not be exhibition games, we're being told. Mark Shapiro noted that yesterday, that they'll play inter-squad games to get ready. They still don't officially have the go-ahead to play the season from there, but it would be stunning at this point if they didn't, is the sort of the feel everyone has, right?
Yeah, it's obviously a different set of complications because you're bringing teams in and out and because they would be coming in and out of the country. So it's a different equation in terms of, and you know, what they will require those teams to do before they come into Canada. Now, again, the testing protocols are going to be pretty strict anyway, so I would think, you know, you would be able to get pretty up-to-date test results of any team, but, you know, it's... they don't travel like us. I know this is shocking, but they, you know, they travel on yeah. charter jets. They get on it. They get on the bus. Pulls up to the plane. They get on the bus. The customs people come to the plane. They don't stand in lines. They'll get taken to the hotel. And in Toronto, the setup is if you stay in that hotel attached to the stadium, you get on the elevator and, you know, hit zero, and it takes you right down to the field level. So, I think it can be made to work. I know there are people, there's some carping about, you know, special privileges at a time when the border is closed to other people, but, you know, there is traffic moving back and forth across the border right now, yeah. Business traffic. And, look, this isn't going to be a huge amount of economic activity, but, you know, in the same way that the NHL hubs are going to fill hotel rooms and, you know, put money in the pockets of restaurant owners and caterers and hotel workers and stadium workers and, you know, a whole bunch of people, like, it's not like there's something else that's going to fill that void right at this particular moment. So, I would put it, you know, on my list of things that I would consider acceptable risks for the greater good. I think they'll work it out. If they don't, it's going to get messy, because they would then have to fly back to Florida, either find a way to operate in the little stadium in Dunedin, which doesn't even really have a visitor's clubhouse anymore. You know, during spring training, teams dress in their hotels and come on a bus. TV-wise, it'll be pretty primitive. I guess they can try and work out a deal to play in the Rays stadium, but that's a whole other level of kind of scheduling issues. So, yeah, I would be surprised, unless somehow this all becomes cataclysmic and people get terrified and, you know, politicians shy away from it. I would think that they will be able to play their regular season, their 30 regular season home games in Toronto.
It is Stephen Brett joining us, as always, on Fridays here on Boomer in the Morning with this week and maybe other weeks to come. Ryan Pinder and Will Nault. Will.
Stephen, I guess we'll shift gears a little bit. We have heard like next to nothing from the CFL, but yesterday a report from Rod Peterson, apparently Winnipeg has been targeted as a potential hub city. Again, we have heard nothing as to the CFL's plans outside of early in June, when the commissioner continued to state that September would be the time for a restart for the season. Any thought on the CFL? And I mean, the crickets can't lead you to much optimism, but what's your feel? And I guess if they do play, a hub city model is probably the smartest, no?
Yeah, I think it's the only way to do it, although I don't know how you do it. You know, we're just talking about crossing the border. Like, think of the number of guys you have to bring into a CFL camp, how they cross the border, you know, they drive up. There's not enough money to charter all your players up from the States. It's a different enterprise, you know, and a different set of economics in terms of the league. If you ask me right now, I would say that unless the federal government throws a ton of money at them, I don't think they're going to play. You know, the provincial government, I don't know what the position is in Alberta, you guys can tell me, but the provincial government here essentially has said they're not getting any money. There are no specific funding specific to the CFL, so I guess they could draw on programs that are available to other businesses, but they're not going to get their own handouts. So, you know, the big ask is out there for the feds. I cannot believe there's an appetite to do that. There will be, you know, there'll be pressure in some circles to do something, but I don't see how they play without that, and I would be skeptical about their ability to get that money out of the feds right now, given everything else that's going on. Like, and again, I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong. You know, I'm not going to. You can make an argument about them as a business and as a cultural institution and as a morale builder and a whole bunch of things if you want, and that's all legit. But it just doesn't feel like it's coming, and we are getting. Like, I know, you know, Randy Ambrosi has said there's got to be a go-no-go point, but if you're going to start this league up on Labor Day, and we are now into July, I would think the go-no-go point is about 2 weeks away. Like, it's just hard to see it getting any tighter than that, given what they have to do. And I just don't know how you can make a call and say, let's do it. I really don't. If they do not play this year, there will be dire consequences. I think this is not an existential moment for the league, but it's pretty darn close to it. But if they do play, it's a terrible spot. And I know, look, Randy Ambrosi has been criticized for some things, like all CFL commissioners have, and, you know, the kind of the pie in the sky stuff about 2.0 and the European players and the Mexican players and all that stuff. But I don't care, you know, name whoever the greatest sports commissioner in history, you know, whoever you might think that would be, put him in the same spot that Randy Ambrosi's in and see if he could solve it. Because I think this is something for which there's no roadmap, that no one has ever dealt with before, in a league with, you know, precarious finances. Like, they weren't on death's doorstep for sure, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room. You know, there's not a lot of fat there. And then to try and manage something as complex as a complete season, a training camp and a season start, in order to play half a year for the kind of television money you're going to get with the potential for zero fans in the stands, and crossing a border which is currently closed, I don't see how you do it. I don't see how you do it economically, even if you get permission. Like, it's just, it's that there are so many arrows pointing in the wrong direction here. I would love to see them find a way, and I would love to see them, you know, retain their presence in the sporting calendar and hoist a Grey Cup somehow. I think that all of those things, just like all, I'm rooting, you know, never mind the business part of what we do. I think sports coming back and that sense of normalcy that it's going to bring, or, you know, altered normalcy, but I think there's something to be said for, you know, morale building in a time like this. It's the same reason, you know, like you'd say, well, how could sports continue during World War II? Like, why were they playing baseball or hockey in World War II? Well, because, you know, it was in large part, it was a business, but it also kind of helped keep people's spirits up when they were hearing bad news every day. That matters, you know, like it this has been tough for everybody. It's we got a long way to go. But I just don't, I'm having a hard time kind of twisting my mind around to the point where I can come up with a scenario that works for the CFL. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. And then, you know, you talk about the economics of it. I mean, we're seeing the NHL announce perhaps a flat cap for years to come. Don't know when that'll ever go up again. And then you had Dave Naylor of TSN saying, you know, the CFL cap, which was $5.7 million in 2019, could be $4 million in 2021, which, I mean, you know, you have players already on Twitter saying if that's the number and quarterbacks continue to get a quarter, you know, at least, if not $750,000, then you're going to see a lot more than just James Wilder Jr., I think, retire from the CFL.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't. I think what Dave reported there was, you know, A, it's accurate because, you know, he's pretty darn good at covering the league. But B, it speaks to, you know, that there is a school of thinking. I think I've talked about it on the show before, that if they don't play this year, that, you know, maybe you burn it down and start all over again. Try and restructure the business model so that it works for all teams, that all teams can share equally in the money, and you know, the league is profitable as an enterprise. You know, it's in the black, but individual teams are deeply in the red. So, is there a way to run the CFL profitably? You know, you're not going to make huge profits, but to at least stabilize it. But to do that, it essentially has to fold, and then start again. And if you fold, then some people are going to get stiffed, you know, players for sure, potentially, you know, creditors or maybe season ticket holders. Like, it's one thing to say, well, just bankrupt the thing and start all over again, but there's huge collateral damage if you do that. But if you ask me who's going to get screwed in this whole thing when the dust settles, it's going to be the players, because they have precious little leverage. There's a not quite an infinite supply of them, import players, but there are a lot of them out there, and there's nowhere else to play for these guys. So they're gonna try and drive the labor costs down, which is not fair to the guys who, you know, risk life and limb to play football. It's a tough, tough game, but that's where the soft spot is here. You know, you can see it. Like, that's the soft spot here. But the only way you do that is get out from under the collective agreement, and I'm not sure how you get out from under the collective agreement without folding. And again, that sounds kind of apocalyptic, right? But that's the kind of stuff we're talking about now, I think. You know, could it potentially rise, you know, Phoenix-like? And would you have to miss another season to get to that point? It's a mess, man. It's a real mess.
Yeah. No, for sure it is. And obviously with a lot of guys that, you know, a lot of frustration with the lack of information, but unfortunately there's a lot of hands are tied. As much as we'd like Randy Ambrosio to come out and say something, there's not really much he can do or say at this point until, you know, really there's something to show or some light at the end of the tunnel. And there's a lot of moving parts, you know, there, well, for sure. Go ahead.
I wouldn't trade places with Randy Ambrosio right now.
No.
I imagine what's going through his head every day.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. My last one for you today, and that's still in football. I'm curious. So we see it every year, it feels like, but not every year do you get a big company like FedEx asking them to change their name. They've got their name on the stadium. Of course, the investors this week asked Pepsi, FedEx, and the likes to ask them to finally change the name. Dan Snyder has shown no indication since he bought the team in 99. Stephen, is it time we get rid of the Washington Redskins name?
It's way past time that the name of that football team was changed. It is interesting the kind of sea change we are seeing here in the world, you know, because this isn't just about that. You know, if you look at the, you know, for instance, the sponsor pushback against Facebook last week, and hate content on Facebook. You know, Facebook had been, you know, defiant about what they could do and what they couldn't do, and then huge corporations started walking away, and suddenly Mark Zuckerberg was singing a different tune. It is. Like a lot, like this has been a fascinating, obviously unsettling, troubling period in our lives, in our history. But it's starting to feel like there's real change afoot, not just lip service. That this isn't just, you know, part of the news cycle that then flips around and everybody forgets about it. And you know, look, people taking to the streets and voicing their concerns and standing up for principles and values is important. But you also need, you know, it to be about money in our world, whether you like it or not. Money talks. And the fact that, you know, big corporations, which I normally would just go to ground and let it pass and, you know, go back and, you know, keep their name on stadiums and pretend it didn't happen. Sort of what happened, you know, with the original Kaepernick protest, where everybody just kind of, you know, pulled the covers over their heads for a little while and waited for it to pass. This feels different. This feels really different. And, you know, if something, I'd like, I'm not going to be a cockeyed optimist here because this is, you know, what we're going through is brutal. But if this is one of the, this is one of the outcomes of this period of unrest and uncertainty, and that will be, at least I think we'll be able to look back on that and say, you know, it was, we went through something horrible there, but it kind of opened a lot of people's eyes and forced us to confront some things. And I think that's it. I'm going to be an optimist. Okay, I'm going to be an optimist here today.
Yeah, fair enough. And not only the Redskins name, if that could potentially change. Now talk about a different anthem before games, one that I think would reflect more a country that has a ton of African Americans, especially a league that's filled with them. So those would be positives. The other bit of NFL news that caught my eye was that the NFL does still remain the undefeated champ of creating revenue, and they're now talking about at least potentially having fans sign waivers to come in and sit in the seats in the middle of a pandemic. Are other leagues watching this closely, or is this just crazy?
I think today, what's the day, July the 3rd or whatever we're at, looking south, it seems crazy. A month ago, it would have seemed less crazy. And I could have seen politicians in certain states just bulldozing through and saying, fill up the stand. Well, the guy in Texas was essentially the same guy who just mandated mask wearing in Texas was the guy who was ready to put people in the stands 6 weeks ago.
Jeez.
So let's see where we are. You know, let's I'm sure they would love to do it. But hey, look, if even the Trump people wouldn't fill out his rally up his rally because they were afraid of catching it, I have a hard time imagining people signing waivers so they can sit shoulder to shoulder with thousands of other people right now. Let's see where we are in a month.
Got to catch that Jacksonville home game. So
Before we let you go, Stephen, just because I don't know if I'm sure you've talked about this many times on this program, but in honor of today being what would have been the kickoff to the 2020 Calgary Stampede, do you have any Stampede memories or stories that you could share?
I don't. You know, like I've attended rodeos in different places, like little ones, you know, over the years, but I've actually never been to Stampede. I got to say, like, I've been.
Brunt?
Yeah, no, I haven't.
I've to make amends here.
No, I know, and I have this conversation
for the next Stampede. You got to get you out.
I know. Normally, I am in, you know, Newfoundland right now, so that kind of, that's a long way from Stampede. Now, I have many friends who have enjoyed Stampede and have told me stories, and none of them I could repeat on the radio.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. That's correct. Ben Wagner has many stories he can't repeat. We showed him around last summer. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's good. I'm sure you transformed him. That's good. I'm sure Ben
he
is sitting
his wife.
In Dunedin
Eye
right
opening.
Now. Yeah. They're sitting in Dunedin right now driving around on their golf cart. You know, I'm probably pining for the Stampede.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, like, you trade the VIP Stampede experience for the radio voice of the Blue Jays for that power cart in Dunedin. You can really get around easy. So that's he takes care of me there. I take care of him here. It works like that. Hey, we'll chat next week. Thanks so much.
All right. See you guys.